Our gospel reading this morning begins with a short story, a little parable that teaches something important about who God is. When you pay attention to little stories like these, the question is, what does this story teach us about God? There's actually two stories here, a story about a shepherd who goes searching for a lost sheep, and a second story about a woman who searches everywhere for her lost coin. Both stories are about God. God is like a shepherd. That's not just in this little story. Throughout Scripture, God is pictured as a shepherd. You might know Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." Jesus uses this image too, calling himself the good shepherd who knows his sheep. In the story here, the shepherd is in a pickle. He has a problem. He has 100 sheep in his flock, but one has gone missing. 99 are here safe with him. One is gone. What should he do? The way Jesus poses the question, it's like it's obvious what we would do. Which one of you, he asks, if you had 100 sheep but loses one of them, would not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one who's lost until you found it? God is like that too, Jesus says. God does the same with his people. God's like a good shepherd, which you all would be if you were in the same situation. Jesus seems to assume that this is typical behavior for a normal shepherd and a normal person. Of course, he says, a shepherd leaves his 99 in the wilderness and goes looking for the one. But is that true about us? I don't know anything much about actual shepherds and shepherding and the occasional lost sheep. But I know something about people. And people have to make hard decisions all the time about what they'll risk and what they'll gain, and what it may cost them. The woman in the second story has herself a problem too. What will she do? What lengths will she go to find the lost coin? The shepherd knows what's at stake in leaving the 99 at risk while he searches. In searching for the coin, the woman's like anyone who's lost anything of value like that. Someone who turns the house upside down searching, not knowing if she'll find it. You've been in this situation. You've lost a coin, or the clicker, or your car keys, or your social security card. You feel like you've lost your ever-loving mind. Both stories Jesus tells here say God is like this. God will do anything, anything, absolutely anything to search and save what is lost, in the world. From what I know of people, I know this. A person is absolutely committed only to that which and those whom they love. Love makes all the difference in the world. Without love, a relationship is just a business transaction. In the parable, if you take love out of it, a lost sheep is just 1% of the investment and potential profits. It's not nothing, but it's a rounding error in the monetization of the herd. But with love, or what appears to be love, the shepherd demonstrates absolute commitment to finding the one who's lost. Can a shepherd really love the sheep? Looks like love. He goes after the one who's lost until he finds it. And when finding it, he doesn't chastise it, or drive it, or scold it, but lays it on his shoulders to carry it home. That image right there, a shepherd not driving 100 sheep or 1,000 sheep, but tenderly carrying one on his shoulders. That's God. And that's you at some point in life, lost, but now found, gathered up in the arms of God, carried to safety. Is that how you picture God? The mental image some people carry of God is a long way from this. The mental image some people carry of God is of a severe dictator, or a distant deity, or a distant memory. But then there's this image. Can you see it? Can you feel it? The shepherd carrying home a lost sheep was one of the first images that Christians painted in their sacred places, like the catacombs. Even before the cross became the most recognizable sign of Christianity, a shepherd carrying home a lost sheep was how early Christians saw themselves and, more importantly, saw God. Because it's an image of love. May it ever be the beating heart of the church that no matter what, to be like God, the good, loving, relentlessly hopeful shepherd. The heart of the church's children's and youth ministry is beating in the child in the room who feels like they don't belong and don't fit in and needs someone to say, sit here. Join me. You belong here. The heart of the college ministry is beating in each student. Not the masses of students herding together to various activities, but the mind and heart of each one and the story that's unfolding in their life as they grow into the person that they're becoming. The heart of the church's ministry in the community is beating in the life of the person who God has brought into our life. The hungry, thirsty, the lonely. And this very day, the sojourner. The heart of the church is the heart of God beating in all those who go with God anywhere it takes to be close to the love of God for the one lost sheep who's gotten a little lost, or a lot lost, or has been driven from their home. You know what means everything to God? You do. And the place within you that's a little lost or a lot lost, the place that's hurting, the place that's in need of redemption, the place that's in need of renewal, that place, that person, it means everything to God. We're under the care of a good shepherd who knows us and knows when we're close by and knows when and where we've wandered. A people listening for the voice of the one who loves them, that's the church. People made who they are by the grace of God and held with one another in the mercy of God. If this story, really both of these stories, teach us anything, it's this. If one is lost, the whole is diminished. When the shepherd has 100 sheep, that's not a random number in the story. When the shepherd has 100 sheep, that 100, the multiple of 10, is the perfect biblical number of completeness, of wholeness. When he loses one, the herd hasn't just been reduced by 1%. The whole has been diminished into something less than the whole. The attention of God is on each one because each one matters. Each one means everything. You mean everything. The person next to you means everything. That part of you that's committed to God means everything, and so does the part of your life that's wandered away to the brambles and weeds of the wilderness. That part of you means everything to your wholeness and everything to God. God rejoices over you being made whole. God rejoices over you when you're lost and you're found, when you wander and when you come home, when you repent and when you just want to repent and don't know where to begin. God rejoices over you when any part of your life that's not God's is restored to being with God and of God. This is a celebration in heaven. These parables are parables of God's mercy. They're also parables of God's joy. God wanders over hill and valley looking for his lost lamb because God wants one more thing to celebrate. God sweeps and peeks and searches and turns the whole house, the whole world upside down looking for her lost coin. God searches the world of our hearts to seek all within us that's wandered to bring us back home. God's not resigned to your distance for who you are at the center of God's heart. You who do not know yet the beauty of his love, the astonishment of his mercy. You who have not yet welcomed Jesus into the center of your own life. You who are convinced you cannot get untangled from the briar patch of your life choices. You who, because of bad things that have happened in your life, have a hard time believing in love. You are precious in God's sight. God is roaming the whole world, relentlessly searching for you. You are irreplaceable. You have a place. It is you, and no one can replace you, no matter how many other sheep, no matter how many other coins, no matter how many other saints, voices, bodies, hands, minds. You are beloved. You are known. You are loved. Because this is the God we know. This is the kind of story of God we can tell to children and to youth, to students far from home, to those getting their lives together and those giving their lives away, those at the end of life, those in crisis, those in joy, and those who show up with nothing in their hands, but a little hope and little in their past but pain. Today's parables were inspired by some people who were criticizing Jesus. They sneered. He welcomes sinners and eats with them. And Jesus, in effect, says, "You don't like that? Well, here's more." The disdain actually turns out to be a wonderful announcement. Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them. Yeah, this is what happens in every service. Jesus welcomes us to his table where he eats with us. It's a phrase we could write on the doors of the church. Here, Jesus welcomes sinners and invites them to his table. And not only that, here, Jesus welcomes doubters and invites them to his table. Here, Jesus welcomes hard hearts and invites them to his table. Here, Jesus welcomes broken hearts and invites them to his table. Jesus welcomes those who are strangers to one another and invites them to come together to his table. No one's a stranger to him. Here's the story of our God our first graders will be reading about in their new Bibles. A feast was prepared. The wine was poured. Many friends had come. A celebration was ready to get underway. And then God told the angels, "Keep the table set. Keep watch over everyone. I've got to go. I'm leaving for a while, but I'll be back. And I'm not coming back alone. I'm searching for others. I'm not coming home without my beloved ones. Whatever it takes, even if it kills me, I will find them." Thanks be to God. Amen.